you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, February 10th, 2020, and a quick alert, mainly for the men.
I knew it was coming. I was going to say something
Four
myself.
4 days away, Valentine's Day this Friday, guys. You have a few days to get those roses ordered or that special gift
purchased. Let's get it done now. Don't be wandering around the grocery store at 5 o'clock,
minute.
You know. Is this a pretty bunch? Is this a pretty bunch of flowers? Help me out.
And whatever you do, don't stop by that gas station to get whatever bouquet is left. You know,
that's you have to, do that. Do something.
Do something. Well, it's Monday, which means it's Memorization Monday, a great verse that I'm excited to be able to read to you and we can think about and talk about. And we have a special guest, which I'm very excited to introduce you to, primarily because he's a friend of Herb the Radio Servant, so he's got to be a good guy. And I've actually heard about Stephen Hughes for a number of, I think probably years, because Herb says, I meet with this great bunch of guys every Saturday, and he's talked about you. And I said, Herb, do you know about this Steve Hughes and the Rescue Us Ministry? He goes, oh, yeah, I meet with him. And so, Steve, I knew you were going to be a good interview. And I said, well, we have some memorization verses coming up. Do any of these flip your switches, they say? I said, you know, we have 2 Chronicles 7:14. And he goes, oh, that's a great one,
wow.
In fact. That really resonates with me, so we're going to do a special reading and talk about that, and then also invite all the Great News Radio listeners. Put it on your calendar. It's only a few weeks away on February 21st. It's a Friday night. There's going to be a special dinner and concert. It's going to be held in Georgetown at the First Church of Christ in their ministry building. It's like a multi-purpose. It's a great facility. We'll have a great concert, and there's going to be a dinner, and I guess it's going to include like chili and hot dogs.
Hey, that's my kind of dinner.
Great food, and it's free of charge, but part of the goal that evening is to raise funds for Rescue Us Ministry, so we're going to learn about Rescue Us Ministry.
Actually, it's a fundraiser for the food banks. Rescue Us Ministry is coming later on this summer.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to get that.
So this is for the food banks.
All right.
Okay, the food banks.
Those guys are throwing me out of my ears if I let them go by.
Okay. We don't want you thrown out here, especially in light of this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, these are the words of God in God's word.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is God saying, if my people, it's an amazing verse. If
it's
my
huge.
People who are called by my name. So.
All right. Well, I will read from Robert J. Morgan's book about this subject. And he says, in the Bible, the definitive book about revival is 2 Chronicles. And this is the key verse. It's addressed to those called by God's name, and it presents a 4-3 formula for revival. So here's the four things, the requirements for revival. 1, humble yourselves. Pride is a beaver's dam that holds back the currents of personal and corporate revival. I love that, by the way. A beaver's dam, that's a great visual. 2, pray. History's great revivals have been prayed down by burdened souls. Number 3, seek his face. Get serious about your relationship with Christ and the spiritual habits that draw us closer to him. 4, turn from our wicked ways. If we're doing anything careless, immoral, or disobedient, we must confess it and reestablish obedience to that area of life.
So those are the four requirements for revival, according to Robert J. Morgan.
Here's the three promises. The promises of revival. Number 1, I will hear from heaven. God will listen to our prayers as carefully as he listened to Solomon's in 2 Chronicles 6. 2, I will forgive their sin. God specializes in forgiveness. There's not a sin on earth he'll not instantly and permanently forgive when sincerely confessed and placed under the blood of the cross. Number 3, I will heal their land. Has any land needed healing more urgently than ours? Has any generation needed revival more than this one? And here's a couple things. As a young man, George Mueller was spiraling downward in and out of prison. A friend invited him to a Bible study, and that proved to be the turning point. Mueller went on to establish missionary enterprises and mercy ministries, all of them operated by faith and prayer. When he published an account of his answers to prayer, copies made it to Ireland. In January 1857, James McKilkin, moved by Mueller's book, started a prayer group of his own. Within 2 years, a spirit of revival broke out in a nearby church as McKilkin preached. Excited Christians carried the fire to other places, and a revival blazed through Ireland. It's estimated that as many as 1,000 people a day gave themselves to Christ. Business came to a standstill, as people could do nothing else until they got right with God. Men were unable to sleep at night. They were under such conviction they wept and prayed through the night in their homes. Churches were packed at all hours. Divisions and conflicts evaporated. The jails were emptied. The churches were filled. The people became concerned for the poor, and the nation became almost like a new land. It's known today as the Irish Revival of 1859. And here's a quote from Wesley Duell. God, at his own initiative, voluntarily gave us, his people, the covenant of revival in 2 Corinthians 7:14. He must be true to his covenant word, and he wants for us to fulfill our part.
I didn't know that about George Mueller.
I know.
Everyone knows that story where
he prayed
he's with
for
the orphans,
and
then don't you know the bread truck breaks down in front of his house. And
Well, when I was reading this, I got really interested in reading the chapter before this. In that chapter, Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, is asking God, if the people mess up this way, will you still take them back if they ask your forgiveness? If they do this wrong, will you please take it back? If they really, you know, repent and so forth. He goes on and on through that whole chapter, and there's no answer. And then it says in chapter 7, in the night, the Lord came to him, and he said this, yes, yes, I will. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. It's really quite a story.
Now, Steve, has this been a verse that has resonated in your mind and heart for many years or recently?
For a long time.
Okay.
It has been, yes.
Tell us a little of that faith journey and then the significance of this verse.
Well, basically, when I retired from Quaker Oaks, I wanted to do more than just sit around. I had a wood shop that I'd built, and it just wasn't doing what I wanted to do in my life. So best thing for me to do is just turn my life over to the Lord and serve Him. So I did, and I ended up joining the Bible study, Saturday morning Bible study. We was talking about Herb Ketchum being in there. Been in there for several years. We have as many as 20 to 25 men that show up every Saturday morning. Lately it's been down some, but there's still men coming. And in 97, I was asked to be an elder in the church, 1997. So I became an elder, got really involved in the church after that. And then later on, they asked me if I would be a session clerk, which I said I would do that. In other words, my responsibility to make sure we meet every month with the elders and do the business of the church and make sure that financially we're sound and also make sure that spiritually we're sound. My wife, this is where she comes in, Donna. We were married in 1964, March the 28th.
It's a good year.
Yeah. So
good month.
And
yeah.
Her father married us because he was our minister. And her dad was ministry for 52 years.
Now, wait, when you first met Donna, knowing that she was the pastor's daughter, did you feel scrutinized? Did you measure up? Were you a follower of Jesus at that time?
Oh, he saw to it that I knew.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Good man.
Yeah, he was a great guy. Yeah, he was very supportive of our marriage, and we had 5 children. Mm-hmm. We had 15 grandchildren.
Oh,
now we have 9 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
And 3 on the way. Yeah. And one of my granddaughters...
Oh, she says 4 on the way.
She's correcting me. One of my granddaughters is going to have twins here in about the next month or so.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy and a girl, because I put that order in.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going
to
get.
Do you get to do that? Put the order in?
That's what I did.
Didn't know it.
Yeah. I told God I wanted one of each, and that's what we got.
All right. Wow.
So, anyway... to go on with that, I started doing missionary work. Me and a friend of mine, we started going to South Dakota, the Indian Reservation, and just loved it. Fell in love with those people, and very poverty stricken. I mean, it's just so sad what goes on there. In fact, they have like 80% alcohol in that reservation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a quick story, if I got time. I want to tell you, we were there working on a mission, and him and I did all the electrical work out there. And we were working on the mission. We were replacing all the lighting and stuff, and they were just rebuilding this mission. And we unloaded the vans, got all of our tools inside, and turned around, and my partner was gone. I started looking for him. I couldn't find him. And if I looked out the window of the mission, there he was walking down the street, and he had about 10 Indians following him.
Oh, my.
I said, well, what in the world is he doing? So I went out there, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to take him over here and buy him some breakfast. And this restaurant in this little town said, no, you cannot let Indians in a restaurant.
Oh, no, no, no. Uh-huh.
So we corrected them. We went in and said, there's no reason why they can't come in and sit down. As long as they behave themselves, we're going to pay for the meals. And they did.
They went were they just being racist, or were they children?
Well,
or what?
They're racist. Being
they're,
racist.
They're racist.
Wow.
Yeah. That, people down there don't
How long ago
don't
was
like
that?
Them. This is about 5-6 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my
yeah,
word.
I was thinking, okay, maybe 30-40 years ago.
No,
but,
this is not too long
I'm just going to be upset all day. I am, from here on.
Well, let me tell you the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So we fed them, and they went on down the business way. We went and started working. And at lunchtime, and we always took a sack lunch with us, and we'll sit down outside, and we were eating our lunch. Then here comes one of the Indians, walked up to us, and he says, could you please tell me about this Jesus of yours?
Mm-hmm.
What a golden opportunity that was. So we sat him down in the grass, and we started telling him about Jesus. And he walked away with a big smile on his face. So we're hoping that it took.
Well, praise God you guys were there.
Yeah, right. So the timing was just perfect for us and him, I think.
So this passion or drive to help people has been there in you for a while.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah. So it's no wonder you're involved with Rescue Us.
Well, I'm also involved in a lot of other things, too. Mm-hmm. I'm also a Gideon's. I joined the Gideon's about 7-8 years ago.
You probably or maybe have come in contact with C.J. Sizemore. He looks like Colonel Sanders.
No.
he's very involved.
Bob Dickey, too.
Bob Dickey's very involved. Yeah, we have a number of
actually, I belong to a camp over in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Vermilion Park County Camp.
Sure.
And I'm also chaplain of that camp. And I really enjoy working, and most, I guess, all kind of stories I can tell you about passing out those Bibles.
Sure.
Not bad.
A little girl one time approached me. I gave her a Bible. And I said, now, honey, when you take this, you got to read it. And her mommy says, she will, and they left. 2 hours later, here they come back, and her mom had a big grin on her face, and she says, honey, tell this man what you learned. And she went through the whole Psalms 100 word for word.
Oh, my goodness.
In that short time, she learned it. I told him, I looked over the guy I was with, and I said, you know, I said, this whole day was well worth
it. Right. In case you just tuned in, we have Steve Hughes here in the studio on this Memorization Monday, where we're looking at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and this is God speaking, it's just incredible, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Mm.
What a great verse for us. But you take it even further. There was this transitional time in your faith journey where it seemed like God wanted you to be more hands-on, involved, engaged, doing missionary work. But I think you also, you wanted to provide hope for those with various addictions. When did that become a driving force in your life to be a part of this Rescue Us? Because you're a co-director with some other servants of the Lord.
When I actually witnessed children selling drugs to children. I saw it happen. It really, really bothered me. I was really devastated by seeing junior high children actually selling drugs to other junior high children. Then I also seen some adults selling right there in Georgetown. It's a small town.
My goodness.
And if this is going in Georgetown, it's, you know, where it's going in everywhere.
Right.
Danville, I know, is having a lot of really serious problems in Danville with that problem. So anyway, and then this friend of mine, Dan Gokin, came to me on Saturday morning or after our Bible study and said, Steve, I want to start this program. Would you help me? I said, absolutely, because I wanted to do something for these people, because some of them, when you meet them and sit down and listen to their stories, it's just heartbreaking.
Right.
So we started the program. It has grown.
Now, before you started, though, didn't you get some training and spend some time learning, developing the curriculum, putting it together, and then the involvement from some area pastors? So it's just not like one church. I think you have a number of churches that come together to support this Rescue Us ministry.
We have 8 churches that supports it, and we also have some private donors that also supports it financially. We have several pastors that has gotten involved. In fact, we just got a new one last week. Pastor did said he came to the program, says, I want to help. So now he's going to be one of our leaders. We have leaders, and we have leaders for the women and leaders for the men. And in the evening, we start out and we go through the first part. We call it Talk One, and that's where we do our prayer and testimonies. I have them fill out a prayer card and a testimony card, and then they'll pass it forward to me and Dan. Dan will take care of the prayers, and I'll take care of the testimonies. Mm-hmm. And we'll go through them, and then when we're done with that, I'll say, okay, it's time for Talk Two. Then the men will get up and go to a separate room, and the women will get up and go to another separate room. In fact, it's getting so large, we're going to have to break off the 4 rooms. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to even split the women and the men. And this pastor, he went in there and sit through one of those sessions, and he said that, I want to get involved in this.
Right.
So he's next Friday night, he's going to, in fact, I gave him a bunch of literature to study up and get ready so he can be very familiar on how this whole process works.
Now, on the 21st, so a few weeks away, the Singing Men are going to be heading to Georgetown. We're going to be putting on a full concert, but you're going to be providing a meal. I think it begins at 4 p.m., so talk us through what's happening on Friday, February 21st. I know it's happening in Georgetown at the First Church of Christ, but what can people expect, and why should they come with their checkbook or some cash to help?
Okay. It's actually just going to be a love offering.
Okay.
You come in the doors and there'll be somebody there to greet you. And then there'll be a basket or a jar or whatever. You can throw money in. And if you don't want to, that's fine. Go in and they're get in line and they'll serve you. We're having chili and all the fixing that goes with chili. If you want them, then want it hot, that's fine. Then we'll give you something hot to put in.
And hot dogs, you said.
And we're going to have these large jumbo hot dogs that people seem to really love. And then we'll have a lot of desserts, different desserts.
And that'll happen between about 4 and 6
from
p.m.?
4 to 6 p.m., and then the singing men of GNN will be there. Then start their program.
Put on a big concert.
Big concert.
That's great.
And we're really excited about that. And if there's some latecomers coming in still want to eat, they can watch the concert and eat. We don't care.
Sure. As long as the singing men don't get off stage and then start eating
in
the middle of the
good.
Concert. We don't want that to happen.
In fact, I think they need to come early if they want to eat.
We're working that out, getting the guys off work. Now, these funds that will be raised that evening, they're going to help.
We have 3 food banks that we support.
Sure.
One in the Rich Farm, Friends Church has one. Then we have one in the Friends Church there in Georgetown that they don't give food, but they give like toothpaste and deodorant and shampoo and all that stuff. They'll give them toilet paper and they'll give them all that stuff free. They just come by and get it. And then First Church of Christ, they feed like 90 families every month. They come in. And we have volunteers that there to help out. So,
all right, everyone, that's February 21st. It's a Friday night, anytime between 4 to 6 p.m. if you want to make it for the meal. Chili and hot dogs and other fixins. And then the singing men will sing probably around 6, 6:15. Right in that window, we'll put on a full concert, so it'll be a blessing. Bring your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, and there will be a free will offering and a way for you to give back to help those in need. But I could tell there was a tender spot in your heart when you talked about your wife, Donna, and you said she's like been your backbone. And so how have you seen her assist you or come alongside you or equip you to be able to do this ministry work?
Well, she also got involved in the church. She's our secretary treasurer of the church, and she helps me out tremendously. I make out a report every month for the elders, or a financial report, and if she wasn't for her, I wouldn't be able to give them anything.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. And then, obviously, with 5 children, how she's been able to juggle all that and raising them and helping you. And I know with your position with Quaker Oats and such, and especially in management and stuff, I'm sure you put in a lot of hours, so she was helping raise the kids, and it seems like did a pretty good job, huh? And she's right behind you.
We're
waving at her. She's across the room. She's probably a prayer warrior, you know, praying up the program and making sure Steve covers everything he's supposed to cover.
I will say 4 of our 5 children have college degrees, and one of them was going to get her associate's degrees. But she didn't finish up. She got married.
Sure, sure.
But now, I mean, all five of them. In fact, my oldest son just retired from a large food company as a senior vice president.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And then he just retired, and now he's going to take care of dad and mom. Mm.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what was it about 2 Chronicles 7:14 that personally was either liberating or impactful, or you just said, God, I just love this verse, and I visit it or think about it often? What's so special about it for you personally?
I mean, to me, it's the love of God. He gives us a way out. Mm-hmm. And he did that through his son, but still, you mm-hmm. know, all we have to do is just turn away from our wicked ways mm-hmm. and pray and ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. And that's what we need throughout our communities today. Right. There's so many people hurting.
Yeah.
You had mentioned about the addictions and the crisis. And so if you're tuned in and maybe you have an addiction or you know somebody that has an addiction, maybe it's your children or the neighbor, the Rescue Us Ministry has this program. Where do they meet and how could somebody find out more information?
Meet the First Church of Christ in Georgetown. It's in the basement. It's a big room. And we have a kitchen down there. And actually, when they first come in, we feed them a meal.
What day of the week?
Friday nights.
Okay, Friday nights.
Starts at 6 o'clock.
Okay, Friday nights, 6 o'clock in Georgetown. And if somebody had more questions or needed information, is there a number to call, or what's the best means or method?
They can call me or Dan, either one of me, or they can call our counselor, Terry.
Okay, and what's the phone number?
217.
Okay, 217.
474.
474.
2306.
2306.
That's correct.
All right. Well, I'm hoping that through your testimony, through this verse, we're providing hope not only for the senior saints and those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but giving hope or an option or a method or a means for somebody to get involved in the program, to be fed, to be loved on, to be cared for, and to be discipled or nurtured along to get them out of this habit or this addiction.
Would you like to hear a real quick success story?
Yes.
We had a young lady that came and joined us. She just got out of jail for using and selling drugs. And she came to us and said, I'm tired of this. I need help. I need to get out from under. Her life has totally turned around. And she come in about 3 weeks ago, and she gave her testimony that always brought me to tears. Mm-hmm. And in her testimony, she had come up with this poem. And this poem has a message in it. And it was incredible. So we took her to one of our local churches, and she did it for them. And you look out and see tears in people's eyes.
Oh.
And she's so excited, and now she wants to become one of our leaders.
That's great.
And a future maybe Testimony Tuesday guest here in our studio.
Absolutely.
So
she would love to do it. She'd love to do it.
That'd be great.
2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Wow, great reassuring words. It reminds me somewhat of Is it 1 John 1:9?
Mm-hmm.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Just I think that this one is a little more corporate.
Right.
You know, heal the land and heal everything.
This is what our country needs right now.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins and Steve Hughes with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save.